This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of TalkBack. TalkBack this morning is brought to you by our friends at Y West Storage, offering secure, flexible self-storage in Missoula. Call 510-0590 to reserve your unit today. Of course, all these numbers are 406 numbers. Quality Seamless Gutters of Montana offers expert gutter installation and repair. For a free quote, call Quality Seamless Gutters, 728-4002. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy-duty truck sales, parts and service. Give Bruckner's a call, 541-9097. Busy Bee's Cleaning Service brings you commercial cleaning you can trust. Call 550-3219. Get a free estimate from Busy Bee's. Pivots Plus is Montana's leader in irrigation parts, service, and sales. Call Pivots Plus, 683-4418. Gomer's Diesel Incorporated, diesel repair, parts, and service in Missoula. The number for Gomer is 728-7620. And by Harrington Surgical Supply, where they provide medical and surgical supplies to healthcare professionals all across western Montana. Call Harrington at 721-8468.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Okay, welcome aboard, everyone. Peter Christian here, Mr. Nick Christensen over there. Good morning, Mr. Nick.
Good morning.
And we are privileged to have with us a representative from the Montana Highway Patrol joining us, Lieutenant Colonel Kyle Hayter. Lieutenant Colonel, how are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Excellent, and thank you so much for joining us. And I know you wanted to speak to our listening audience this morning, so please, it's all yours.
Well, I appreciate it. Yes, the Montana Highway Patrol, we want to announce, currently has open recruitment going on now through April 5th. That's for state trooper positions. We're looking for, currently we're accepting entry and lateral applicants. And we've got stations throughout the state. We're primarily looking for positions in the eastern side of the state, but we do have positions in Missoula County available, Mineral County, Flathead, Billings, Lewis, and Clark area, all over the state. So if that's something that anyone is interested in being, a state trooper, or has someone that they think would be a good fit for the Highway Patrol, we encourage them to apply.
Well, now, Kyle, if you wouldn't mind just explaining a little bit about what the, of course, we see Highway Patrol troopers all the time when we're on the road, on the interstates, and traveling throughout Montana. But what are the duties of a Highway Patrolman?
So state troopers are responsible for enforcing traffic laws and criminal laws on the highways, as well as federal laws. We have proactive DUI enforcement. We're out there trying to reduce crashes and fatality crashes specifically. We have interdiction teams that go out and try to interdict criminal activity on our highways, trying to stop that from getting to our cities and towns. So we've got quite a bit of responsibility. And we also in charge of inspecting school buses, putting on community safety talks. The list goes on and on. We've kind of jack of all trades, wear many hats.
Well, I think it's interesting that you guys actually inspect school buses. And the one thing that absolutely drives me crazy is when people go around a school bus when it's stopped. That is a violation, and you could pull somebody over for that, right?
Absolutely, we can. And unfortunately, we do well too often. So, but yes, every school bus in the state of Montana is inspected at least twice a year by a state trooper.
Well, go ahead, please, Nick.
I was just say, Kyle, what's required to become a highway patrol or a highway, sorry, a trooper, highway patrol, Montana Highway Patrol trooper?
Yeah, great question. So we troopers have to meet the same minimum standards as any peace officer in the state of Montana. They have to be at least 18 years of age, obviously a United States citizen, possess a valid driver's license, and have a high school degree, GED or equivalent, in order to qualify to get into the process. If successful in that process, then they attend the Montana Basic Law Enforcement Academy in Helena, after which they would do advanced academy training for the Highway Patrol in Boulder, Montana, where our headquarters is.
I would imagine that I have a great deal of respect for any law enforcement officer, but especially the Highway Patrol. You folks are pretty much out there on your own, especially in the more rural areas of the state.
Yeah, absolutely they are, and they have to, you know, our troopers have to be knowledgeable in all assets of law enforcement, and they really, they're out there from day one when they graduate and they're done with field training. We expect them to be able to be on their own and take care of business.
Well, Kyle, how can folks contact the Highway Patrol if they're interested, or perhaps they have a son or a daughter who is interested in becoming a trooper?
They can go to the internet and either just search Montana Highway Patrol or go to DOJMT.gov. And from there, they can just follow the links to the Highway Patrol and they can get in contact with one of our district offices. Or there's also a link on the website where they can apply directly from there.
Now, I know there are a lot of challenges involved in being a Highway Patrol trooper, but what are the rewards that that you guys are able to get as you do your job on a daily basis?
It is extremely rewarding. Troopers help people all the time. We literally impact people's lives every day and possibly, during every contact. It's also a very fun job. Troopers start their day and end their day from their house. And literally they, unless there's a specific call going on, they get to dictate which direction they go and patrol in this great state of ours.
I would imagine being out there, and it's like that old expression, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, that's true. I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and there's no 2 days that are alike. It changes minute by minute and hour by hour.
Well, Kyle, I'm hoping that this call will convince and a lot of folks to give you folks a call and perhaps become a Highway Patrol person.
I thank you for your time.
You bet. And thanks for being with us today. Have a good day. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Come right back, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe we have open phones for a while until 9 o'clock this morning. And then it's the Missoula Economic Partnership joining us from 9 to 10. We have special guests coming in the studio for that. So we'll be right back after this quick time. Right now, though, it's open phones.
Dennis Bragg with the updated weather. A mostly cloudy day on Tap Tuesday. Just a slight chance of a rain or snow shower early and then again late in the afternoon. Highs to about 51 degrees with some gusty westerly winds. Tuesday night, clouds will hang around with a 30% chance of rain before midnight. A low near 40 degrees. And we get some breezy winds that'll carry over into Wednesday. In fact, that'll be a bright but blustery day. Mostly sunny with a high near 53. And then Wednesday night, skies turning partly cloudy again and getting much colder.
Okay, welcome back to Talk Back. From now until 9 o'clock, it is open phones. So please feel free to give us a call at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And share whatever you'd like to talk about this morning. If you want to get a conversation started, the phone lines are open at 721-1290. I was just talking, my beloved spousal unit, my beloved wife, Lorna, is going to be flying over to Seattle to see Jakey Bakey, our grandson in the next a couple of days, probably in the next week or so. And we were, because they live in Seattle, she was looking at what's going on in the Seattle airport because of, the strike and the TSA shortage and saw the amazing lions and is actually considering just hopping in the car and driving over rather than flying. It takes about an hour to fly to Seattle. And then you wait 6 hours in the airport. But of course in the Missoula airport, I'm sure it's okay, but
yeah, Missoula, it's fine. But yeah, I mean, I've seen stories, people are, people with even like 6 a.m. flights are having to get to the airport at 1 a.m.
and right.
Even then they're maybe not making their flights. I saw a video last night of a guy that had a 5 a.m. flight, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to go to the airport at 10 p.m. the night before, because right. That's when they close security.
I'll show them.
And just sleep at the airport.
Right.
And so that way he wouldn't have, and then, wouldn't have to worry about making his flight. But I'm like, that's ridiculous. That's even something that you have to go through. But yeah, all the videos and all these airports were lines, and it's taking people 3, 4, 5 hours to get through. I mean, yeah, it's bad right now.
I'm trying to imagine what it must be like for a family with some small children, toddlers, strollers, things like that. I mean, it's hard enough to wrangle kids on a plane and, you know, getting them on the plane and getting them quiet and that sort of thing for the flight over. And parents, you know, really endeavor to do a good job at that, things to keep the kids busy. But what do you do when you've got a 5-hour wait before you even get on the plane? I mean, that's...
Well, it's not a fun wait because you're in line, right? It's like you're barely moving, and it's not like you can, you know, sit down outside, you know, at your gate and, you know, maybe entertain kids that way with, you know, playing games or giving them the iPad or whatever you do. It's like, no, you're in line and it's boring and there's a bunch of people around. And yeah, not worth it for me. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, well, this is all, in case you're wondering, in case you don't fly very much, I just pulled this up. As of this month, a partial government shutdown has forced thousands of TSA officers to work without pay, resulting in, obviously, do you want to go to work if you don't get paid? I don't think so.
Well, and I think their last check was like the end of January something like that, cash. I don't know if that's completely true, but yeah, I mean, it's the workers that are there now are working without pay. And now it's the same as when the shutdown happened, you know, months ago where we had this issue where they're trying to emphasize that you will get paid, you know, for this time worked. It's just you have to wait. But
it's going to be retroactive, right?
Yeah, and a lot of these TSA workers, they got bills to pay. They don't make a ton of money where they're saving a bunch of money and can, you know, all of a sudden pay their rent for 2 months with no income coming in. So, yeah, I mean, some of them are forced to quit. I'm sure some of them want to stay and work and would love to be like, okay, I'll get a big check in 3 months, 2 months, 4 months, whatever it is. But
let's hope you have some other income coming in.
Well, like I said, most don't.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, their hands are tied. What are they going to do? And then, you know, when you have to then limit security in those big airports to one lane, two lanes, and with the process already how it is now with, you know, take off your shoes. I know you leave your shoes on now most places.
No, I had to put mine in the basket in Seattle and roll it through. Of course, they just take a look at them. There's not a bomb in there. I shouldn't say that. Don't say that when you're at the airport, of course. But you get them out, put them back on again. It's not a major inconvenience, but when you are like 40 or 50 deep in the line.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you have to take a laptop out and, you know, or whatever, there's all the, you know, maybe they make you're taking your sweatshirts off, whatever it is. I mean, there's, and
your belt. Don't forget your belt.
And most, yeah, sometimes that too. And most security lines have, you know, the TSA pre-check and then, you know, the general, you know, people, I guess, without TSA pre-check, or there's clear as well that you can get. And so, you know, those people pay to get through security quickly because they travel a lot for business or things like that. And now they're going and their lines are, you know, just as long. They're having to wait because it's everyone. Then, yeah, you get through. But then, you know, there's just not enough lines for everybody. So then everyone gets jammed up.
One thing I forget about all the time is the change in my pocket. Because if you go through the little, you know, the thing where you stand in the body image deal, and it's, I'm sorry, sir, you're going to have to go through again because you forgot to take the change out of your pants pocket. And so you go through the line all over again, and oh my goodness, there are so many things to remember when you go to the airport anymore. And ever since 9/11, right? Ever since 9/11, all those years ago, we have lived with this, and it has become the situation normal when you have to travel via air. Anyway. Well, the phone lines are open at 721-1290. It is open phones, by the way. And if you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We would love to hear from you, and we'll be back with more, hopefully your phone calls, right after this.
Your heart. With KGRZ Sports, here's your sports update. Brought to you by Campbell Kia of Missoula. New and pre-owned vehicles at a no-pressure buying experience. Located off Expressway and online at CampbellKia.com. Here's a sour wine.
Seattle Seahawks fans, rejoice. Jackson Smith and Jigba just signed a four-year, $168.6 million contract extension. This according to Adam Schefter with ESPN. That will make him the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. Men's college basketball news, Randy Bennett is set to take the head coaching job at Arizona State. Bennett was the head coach at St. Mary's for 25 years. He led the Gaels to 12 NCAA tournament appearances, and he appears to be on the move to Arizona State. Just recently, ASU and previous head coach Bobby Hurley parted ways. That's a look at sports. I'm Ace Howard.
We are back. This is Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian. That's Mr. Nick Christensen over there. And we've got folks waiting on the line on open phones. Let's jump right in. Catherine, good morning. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Good morning. Just a quick comment about the TSA situation. I believe Elon Musk offered to pay the TSA. I don't know what the outcome of that is, but hey, you know, there you go. They'd get paid if he had his way. Secondly, I think President Trump is also considering, if things don't get improved, that he will have the National Guard take over.
Wow.
Which I think, you know, that seems like it would also be something to consider. And thirdly, just an opinion here. I always thought that when the TSA was formed, it shouldn't have been formed. It should have been the airlines and the airports doing it, not the federal government, even though, you know, because it started right after 9/11. But I think it would have been better if it had been more in private hands or in state hands rather than federally, you know, mandated. But that's just my opinion. So there you go.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. Yeah, TSA, in case you don't know, is Transportation Security Administration. So that's what that particular acronym stands for. And that's seems to be the focus right now for so many things that are going on. Dave, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, from what I can understand, Congress is tied up over that bill, the funding over ice masks, whether or not people should wear masks or not in their normal operation. But as far as Trump is concerned, he has added another level of control to that. He wants the Save America Act first to be passed. And it is, that is really locked up in the Senate because, you know, like the senator from the Republican senator from Alaska says, she'll never support it. So it's pretty well locked up there. And so he's going to have to give or something else is going to have to happen. As far as sending in, we can send in the army into the, it won't fix the problem of TSA workers because, you know, they don't know how to run the machines. You know, if there's no one to run the machines, then you can't, you know, all the people in the world doing it won't fix that problem. So it's a matter of who's going to compromise and who's going to get in.
I wish I knew. I would not want that job. I go in an airport like Missoula, a nice rural airport like Missoula or Bozeman or whatever. I'm sure it's much more pleasant to work at a place like that. But when you get into a Seattle or a San Diego or a New York or whatever, I can't imagine the stress those people are under.
Right. They, you know, they can't afford to make a mistake. They have to be right every time. You know, having an army or a bunch of people there just isn't going to fix that problem. You know, you're going to have the right people doing the right job. And who knows when this is going to be fixed.
You got it. Thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate it. I believe Jeff is standing by. Jeff, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hey, good morning, Nick. Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Montana. Yeah, I was just checking TSA wait times for several airports, and both Kalispell and Missoula are zero. DFW was 2.5 minutes, and DIA was 22 minutes. So I don't know. if it's just the time of day that's causing this shorter time, or if it's going to change. But it's interesting that two major airports and our two local folks don't seem to be having any trouble. And I've said this before, too, that Kalispell doesn't have TSA, actually. Wow. Kalispell has an independent contractor who does it under the guidance of TSA, which is how it happened before 9/11. The airport security was contracted out. And because Boston had a problem with their security contractor, George W. Bush, created the Transportation Security Administration. And I fully go along with, I think it was Catherine who said, let's either abolish the TSA or winnow it down. Let them be a small administrative staff, making sure that they monitor contracts at the various airports and that they set security standards and then have the contractors meet them. And if they don't, they get fined or fired. I mean, it's pretty simple. It's not a all that complicated. It worked for the most part before 9/11. We had a couple of failures there. We can tighten it up and avoid all this security theater.
You got it.
And one other thing real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
On a political note, I don't know if you know this or not, but five Republican candidates for the Montana legislature received maximum donation possible from the former director of the Montana Democrat Party.
Really?
Yes. The five are Ken Walsh, Linda Rexton from up here in Polson, David Bidet, Brad Barker, and Michelle Binkley. They were funded by the Fireweed Campaigns, a company owned by the former director of the Montana Democrat Party, Lauren Caldwell.
Wow.
Not a donor with Democratic ties, but the actual former interim director of the Montana Democratic Party. So, you know, when folks talk about rhinos, or as I call them, rhinocrats, we have at least five folks who say they're Republican and they will be conservative, but they take the max donation possible in the Democrats here in the state. And that to me seems to be a little bit of a cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, I tell you what, I do not, I've only been doing this job for over 50 years and covered all sorts of elections, and politics is still a mystery to me. I don't understand it, maybe because I don't want to understand it. I thought it'd be fairly, you know, people, you run for office, you get elected, you serve, you know, you get reelected or whatever, but this whole business now has just become crazy.
Yep. One more real quick thing. Democrats consistently claim that their voters are more educated than Republican voters. But then they also claim that their voters are too stupid to get voter ID. So, which one is it?
I do not know.
Cognitive dissonance reigns supreme. So, thank you.
Jeff, thanks for the call. We're going to come right back. We have Steve and Skip both standing by. It's open phones till 9 o'clock this morning. And then the Missoula Economic Partnership will be joining us. Christine Littig, Todd Frank, and other guests will be here in the studio talking about local businesses. We'll be right back after this.
Dennis Bragg with the updated weather. A mostly cloudy day on tap Tuesday. Just a slight chance of a rain or snow shower early and then again late in the afternoon. Highs to about 51 degrees with some gusty westerly winds. Tuesday night clouds will hang around with a 30% chance of rain before midnight. A low near 40 degrees. And we get some breezy winds that'll carry over into Wednesday. In fact, that'll be a bright but blustery day. Mostly sunny with a high near 53. And then Wednesday night, skies turning partly cloudy again and getting much colder.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back, the Tuesday edition ongoing right now. Open phones until 9 o'clock this morning. And then the Missoula Economic Partnership will come in with special guests. But right now, we've got folks waiting on the line for open phones. Steve, good morning. You're up first. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, quick question for Nick. Any plans for him to have the walking child candidate on the show? Love to hear from him. I'm definitely not voting for the anointed Kurt Almay. And so as someone who's interested in someone other than what the Republican Party wants us to digest, so it'll vote for all of the AIPAC money that they get. I'd love to hear from Walking Child if you guys could put that on your agenda to try to get him in. Would love to hear his points of view on different topics. That'd be thing one, Peter. Maybe Nick could answer that. The thing two, and then I'll hang up, is just want to let you guys know that your on-demand, listen on-demand section of your website is down. I don't know if you know that or not, but tried to listen to the James Brown guy you had on yesterday, who seems to be on the radio more than Dave and Harry, quite honestly, talk about what specifically he's done to reduce property insurance costs in Montana. I had to get to work and wasn't able to listen to the answer to my question yesterday. But we'd love to hear that recording. Peter, if you recall, was he able to provide a specific thing that he or his team has done in an attempt to try to reduce the 30, 40, 50% increases in property taxes, or sorry, property insurance rates that we're seeing? I'd appreciate an answer to either of those questions. Thanks, Peter.
Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Nick, please.
Question one, yeah, we're going to try to get every candidate on. We're going to, we're working on that, but it'll probably be close toward the end of April, early May when we get everybody. So, yeah, that individual running against Almy will obviously extend out an invite. Every candidate's going to be invited to join the show. Whether they take us up on it or not will be up to them. And then your second question, I did not know that the radio on demand was down, but I'll look at that. But anywhere that you get podcasts, if you just search KGVO and Talkback, you can find any of our past shows as well. And yes, he gave a very lengthy answer to your question yesterday. So please go and check that out.
You bet. All right, let's continue on and get Skip. Skip's up next. Good morning, Skip. You're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you, Peter. And I was kind of baffled there by Keith's question about Jim Brown, I think he was asking about. I wanted to bring up that a week from this Saturday, which will be the 4th of April, in Ravalli County, at our fairgrounds, like every year at the big building at the fairgrounds, we're going to have a Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner, and it's for all of our candidates, from U.S. Representative and all of our legislative candidates in Ravalli County, and our county commissioner's seat that's open, and another seat that is county commissioner that's up for re-election, but I don't think there's a contest there. And all of these people are going to be speaking at the Ravalli County Central Committee event, which is a Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner. And that's on the 4th. Now, to get tickets for that, if you want to go online, is RavalliCentralCommittee.com. That's how to get tickets online. Otherwise, if you live in Ravalli County, there's a few of us that are running around with tickets all the time. I just run into people and sell tickets because they've been to these before in Ravalli County, and they're exciting, and we throw the whole event center, and it's a great meal. It's a walk-through buffet, and it's amazing. And the people that are going to be speaking, including at least three of the people that are running for Ryan's seat, such as Aaron and Dr. Al, and our Secretary of State, Christy, they're all coming to this to speak. Our commissioners, we have two candidates that are going to be really dynamic about what's going on in Ravalli County and why to vote for them. Plus, it's such a wonderful big open room. You'll run into whoever you want to have a private conversation with about their candidacy and the future of Ravalli County in the state of Montana. And so I just wanted people to realize it really is a wonderful event that people are always happy they went to. So I just thought I'd leave you with that. There's plenty of people selling tickets, and it's really worthwhile. And the place is pretty hopping. By the time everybody gets done, they all have something new to talk about.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Thank you for the call, sir. We're up against a break. We're going to come right back. Nancy, Ed, Harry, and Larry are all waiting. It's open phones for the next 18 minutes or so. We'll try to get as many calls in as we can. We'll be right back after this.
Just cream.
We're with Liam after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with all service members and their families. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.
Hey, we're back on Talk Back. Open phones continues. Let's jump right back in and say good morning to Nancy. Nancy, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, morning, Gloria. If I was a TSA worker, I would continue working, whether I got paid or not. If I had to, I'd ride a bicycle if I couldn't afford the gas for my automobile to get to my job.
That's dedication. That's dedication, young lady. Go ahead, please.
Well, I voted for President Trump. I voted for his agenda. I can see where this where I want this to go. I want the SAVE Act to pass. I want illegals not being able to vote in our elections. And so I'm supporting President Trump. I don't care, and he doesn't have to do anything. I think it was Dave that was on. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to bend at the knees for these Democrats, socialists, liberals that want to take down the USA. He is commander-in-chief of the most powerful country in the world. We voted for him. And so that's my stand. I mean, I'm going to be just as stubborn. I would just be just as stubborn if I was working TSA or, you know, and our border security, our homeland security, they're funded until 2029. So I don't know what these socialists are doing or where they're thinking. I guess maybe they're not thinking. They're like the scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. They're brain dead. They don't have any brains. But other than that, I just want to say that I heard the news today that President Trump announced that there is possibly going to be a whole complete regime change in Iran. And I praise the Lord. I hope this comes true. And then only if that happens, we can start withdrawing our troops. And that I will support, you know, but only if there's a regime change in Iran. I mean, that's the only way we can win this and win this for the Iranian people.
All right. Thanks for the call, ma'am. Appreciate it. Always a pleasure to hear your voice. And that brings Ed up. Ed, good morning. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Wow. That was a lot of thought there put into to that. But what I want to talk about is back to the airline business. Our great-grandson had his second birthday in Portland.
Cool.
And our daughter, I was over last weekend, and our daughter flew up with her husband and the grandson from San Diego and had no weight whatsoever.
Wow.
I don't know. Maybe people want to go to work in San Diego, but they had no weights. But we had to buy some diesel fuel. We brought our truck because we needed it for some things. And we paid $6.60 a gallon on at a truck stop on I-5.
Wow.
Yeah, six. So I don't know if we're going to get rebates on those or not, but that really kind of hurt. Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. Sorry you had to pay so much, but glad you're back. You got back. Okay, let's get Harry on the line. Harry, good morning. You're on Talkback. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Peter. First of all, I want to call out. We haven't heard from Wingnut lately. I'm curious. I hope he's okay. Maybe he's just not, you know, interested anymore, but he seemed to be a regular caller, and he seemed to have pretty good thoughts sometimes, so I just hope he's okay out there.
Well, it's nice of you to ask about it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and the politics, you're talking about politics. I mean, the whole thing is, I think they should do away with the parties. I mean, they think that people are stupid, that people are either too stupid or too lazy to just look up what a person stands for. They got to have the party tell them who to vote for. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, this whole party, and it turns into not what the person stands for, it's what the party stands for. And if you don't toe the line, then you're not, you know, you're a rhino, you're whatever. And so, you know, we don't want you in there. But, you know, look up the internet. It's very easy. I mean, you can see what the person stands for, what they don't want, or, you know, and, you know, the party it turns into be more about the party than anything else, and that's I think that's ridiculous.
Well,
so,
let me ask you this: I know what Rhino is. It's a Republican in name only. Is there such a thing as a Dino?
I never really heard anybody. I mean, they say that that Mark Twain talked about something about Democrats being like herding cats or something. But the Democrats really. They're not so much about towing the line because everybody, they have, the real progressive, and then you have, the moderates, and then, although they've sort of gotten away from any conservative Democrats, but still, I mean, it's a big mess, and so they're, and they always, when they do get in power, they always, both sides, they always end up shooting themselves in the foot and start, eating their own, but the whole thing is silly. It turns into more about parties than anything else, and they don't really seem to care about what the people need or want. It's about keeping the party in power. That's what I think. And also for about the TSA, Trump keeps changing the goalposts. I mean, first of all, it was the Republicans wanted the straight bill, pay everybody and not have to change anything about the ICE. But then they finally started wearing down. It's okay, we're going to pay TSA, pay the Coast Guard, pay everybody separately, break it up. And then there've been Trump kids in there saying, nope, not going to do that. We're going to, not until I get the SAFE bill passed. So, I mean, completely threw something else completely in there that had nothing to do with anything. But now he's going to, change the goalposts. And so now TSA are getting, putties for Trump's political games. So, I mean, what else is he? Also, the SAFE thing. It was supposed to be just about voting. Then he throws in the transgender stuff. And so, I mean, he keeps changing the goalposts. And I think, I don't know what he has against TSA, but they don't seem to want to get him back to work for some reason.
Well, I don't know what to tell you, but I appreciate your call. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Right, 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. By the way, the phone lines are open now. So if you have an open phone comment, hey, we'd love to hear from you. We've got about a minute and a half before we take our commercial break, but we would love to get your call in if you'd like to do that. We'd love to hear from you. In the 9 o'clock hour, the folks in the Missoula Economic Partnership are going to be joining us, and we'll be talking with folks from the Trailhead and one of the great, outstanding companies here in Missoula. And so we'll be doing that in the 9 o'clock hour. Again, taking your phone calls at that point as well. So we're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Hopefully take your phone calls at 721-1290. It is open phones for about another 8 minutes. We'll be right back. Hey, now that winter back, 721-1290 is our number. Open phones continues for about another 7 minutes. So let's fill it up. We've got Larry standing by. Larry, good morning. You're on Talkback. Go ahead, please, sir.
Good morning. I wanted to change the topic from TSA. With all the focus on Iran and Israel, I wonder what's going on with the Gaza peace accords. They're supposed to be implementing phase two, which means disarming Hamas. And I just wondered if anybody has any updates on how that process is going. I heard that Egypt may be involved to some extent, but I'm just curious, with all the focus on other spots, if this is a chance for Hamas to rearm and start attacking Israel again.
Well, I'm just looking.
And I thought. Go ahead. I thought, Karnak, Peter Christian, maybe you can look in your crystal ball here. And,
I don't have a crystal ball, but I do have a computer. I do have a computer, and it's telling me that 2025 ceasefire and peace deal moderated by the U.S., Egypt, Qatar, and Turkey involves a multi-phase plan to end hostilities, release hostages, and allow massive humanitarian aid. It includes an Israeli withdrawal, the creation of a transitional technocratic government for Gaza, and a long-term reconstruction plan supported by a UN resolution. That's the summary there. So there you go.
Well, I don't know. I'm just so many times we take the eye off the ball and it causes problems, so I was just curious. So maybe somebody else out there knows. Thanks.
Larry, thanks.
Talk to you later.
Thank you for the call. I believe we have Doug standing by. Doug, good morning. You're on Talkback, sir. What's up?
Yeah, as far as TSA, you know, we got along for years without it. This is kind of a new thing. I ain't too worried about it one way or another. But as far as our voting, that's the important thing, the SAFE Act. We're the only country, civilized country in the world that don't require citizenship and ID to vote, which is ludicrous. I mean, it's crazy. And even back in World War II, Montana State Legislature proposed postponing Election Day, not for nefarious purposes. Republicans and Democrats were both on board. But they looked into it, and it went against the state constitution and the federal constitution. So wow. Election Day is Election Day.
Right.
And that SAFE Act, it has to be passed, and we don't have a republic. That's about all I got to say.
All right. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And that brings Dave back. Dave, go ahead, please. We have about 4 minutes. Go ahead, please.
First, about the new leader at TSA, Mark Mullen, you know, he made a few million dollars when he sold his plumbing company. But since then, he is now valued at between $30 and $100 million in wealth. And he's, from what I can gather, he's made a lot of money playing the stock market while he's been in Congress. So I'm, you know, I don't know if he
among many others, by the way, Nancy Pelosi exactly. is one. I mean, there's all sorts of folks that have taken advantage of their position to, you know, become extraordinarily wealthy in Congress.
I'm 100% with you, and there should be laws that prevent that. But I'm just telling you that, yeah, he has turned into a very wealthy person, one of the wealthiest in Congress, or was, now that he's left. But as far as the America Act, it's not going anywhere in Congress. The Voting Act, it's locked up. I mean, the Alaska senator says that if her constituents had to get their IDs, or I should say their birth certificates and a passport, that it would cost them hundreds of dollars to get on airplanes and fly across the state to find that information. And she's an absolute no, and they need 60 votes. And if they can't even get Republicans to support it, how can they get Democrats? So, I mean, there has to be some give there. You know, ID, yes. What we do in Montana is fine. You get out your driver's license and you present it. That's acceptable. But going beyond that is just a crazy problem for retirees and people who have no longer married to the same person and have changed their names. And it is a total mess if they require that. And for what? Prove to me that the elections in Montana were fake. Prove to me anywhere in this country that elections were fake and the wrong people got elected. I'm waiting for the evidence.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, sir. We appreciate it. I will tell you on a personal note, my wife and I had the pleasure and privilege of flying to Seattle to see our kids and our grandson. And it was very interesting. I had not been through the security in a while. And you got to take your shoes off. You got to put your shoes in one of those containers and take all the change out of your pocket and make sure that you have everything in those, your cell phone, whatever it might be. It goes through the scanner. And then when you get out the other side, I mean, it just takes a few seconds, but, it's just strange how 9/11 that occurred so many years ago has completely transformed how we travel in this country. And I realize everybody wants to be safe. I understand that. And I know there's no way we're ever going to go back to the way it used to be. Just go in, get your ticket, get on the plane and fly. That has changed forever. And I don't think it's ever going to go back to the way it was. But anyway, so when was the last time you flew, Nick?
3-4 months ago.
Was that okay?
Yeah.
Fairly easy experience?
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, they passed something recently where you don't have to take your shoes off in a lot of places. I know sometimes, like, if you go through the whatever it is, it's not conveyor, but the machine.
Right, yeah.
And it triggers something, then sometimes they'll have you go back and take your shoes off. But they have you know, over the years kind of made the rules a little less strict. So obviously we're nowhere near where we were before 9/11, but we're still, they're still kind of making things easier. And like I said, with that TSA pre-check, you know, you do that whole background check and then you basically don't have to take anything off. You don't take anything out of your bags. You just, you're approved ahead of time basically and you just go right through. So, and that lasts, I think, 3 years before you have to renew it, 3 or 5. So,
right.
Anyway, a lot of people do that now.
Okay, we're out of time for this hour, and we have the Missoula Economic Partnership coming up in the next hour. We'll be talking with Todd Frank. He's the owner of the Trailhead. Christine Wittig is going to be joining us as well. And we're looking forward to your participation.
This is TalkBack, 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309.
This is News Talk KGVO, AM 1290 and 98.3 FM. KGVO, Missoula's news and weather station.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's hour number two of TalkBack for this Tuesday, March 24th. TalkBack this morning is brought to you by Harrington Surgical Supply, providing medical and surgical supplies to healthcare professionals all across western Montana. All these are 406 numbers, of course, 721-8468 for Harrington. Gomer's Diesel, diesel repair parts service in Missoula. Call 728-7620 today for Gomer's. Pivots Plus, Montana's leader in irrigation parts service and sales. Call Pivots Plus, 683-4418. Busy Bees Cleaning Service offers commercial cleaning you can trust. Call 550-3219 and get a free estimate. Bruckner's Truck and Equipment, heavy duty truck sales, parts and service. Call Bruckner's 541-9097. Quality Seamless Gutters offers expert gutter installation and repair. The number for Quality Seamless Gutters, 728-4002, and you can get a free quote. Why West Storage, secure flexible self-storage in Missoula. Give them a call to reserve your unit today at 510-0590.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
Okay, this is a very special hour we like to have once a month or so with our friends from the Missoula Economic Partnership. And Christine Wittig is joining us here this morning. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Peter. Good morning.
And
how are you?
And you brought a very special guest with you, Todd Frank.
I definitely did. Welcome, Todd.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. Fun. Of course, the owner of the iconic Trailhead stores, not store, but stores.
Correct.
Yes, and so Christine, it's all yours. Go ahead.
Well, we're excited to bring Todd today, and I think part of what we're exploring and want to talk about with our broader community is that a thriving local economy isn't just something that happens on its own, that it's something a community builds together through entrepreneurships and entrepreneurs willing to take risks, willing to employ people who bring businesses to life, and residents who choose to support those businesses. And so our conversation today...
sounds a lot like America.
Hey, isn't Missoula part of America?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a great story. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we thought it would be a great conversation to kind of pull back the curtain and hear honestly from a local business owner about what it really takes to run a business in a community like ours. Because you say America, but every community has its own little nuance. We're a little different. Our population is different. Our desires for what we want to purchase or not purchase are different. Maybe for listeners that don't know about your business, Todd, why don't you tell us how the Trailhead started and how you got going? And
been around for a long time.
Been around for a long time. So the Trailhead opened in 1974, kind of right as the sort of backpacking environmental movement was starting to happen. And there were two guys that opened it up. You might know the name Dick Goldsmith, who had Goldsmiths here, was one of the partners with Charlie Stevenson. That partnership dissolved after a couple years, and Charlie owned it until May of 2000 when I bought it from him. I had worked for Charlie as the manager from 92 to 99, and then in 2000 I came back and purchased the business from him. So I've had it just about half of the life of the business. We celebrated our 50th a couple years ago. You know, we've been sort of in the core of camping and backpacking and outdoor stuff for as long as we've been around. So, yeah.
Well, if ever there was a business that is absolutely perfect for this community, it's the Trailhead.
Yeah, I mean, we feel like we fit in very well with what happens in town. I mean,
I don't know very many people that don't, that just sit in their house all day and watch TV. I mean, there's so much to do outside, and people probably find their way to your place to find out a way to enjoy it.
We certainly try to get our fair share. Let's just say that. It's very competitive in our market, you know, compared to a lot of other places in the United States. You know, we have seven, eight, nine retailers that are in the same space that we are in some way. And so we, you know, it is competitive. We're not the only ones out there.
So tell me a little bit of the history. Obviously, we know you started many years ago, but this is a pure local business, and that has a special flavor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's me. I do have my daughter working with me now. She's come on board during COVID and has been working with me, and I've slowly been giving her a little bit of interest in the business. And so, you know, my hope is that we'll just be able to hand it off to her, and she'll be able to carry the torch for another, you know, 40 or 50 years.
Mm-hmm. So for the folks who may be new to Missoula, tell us about the little history of the Trailhead and what we'll find when we walk in the door.
Yeah, well, we started on the corner of Higgins and 3rd, right on the corner off the bridge there. And then in 88, moved downtown to, for those of you who maybe know where Jimmy John's is, and there's several other businesses in there. We were there. That's where it was when I purchased the business in 2000. And then in May of 2004, we moved to the current location on Front Street, which is an old historic building that we rebuilt. And so, you know, we basically live in the core space of high-end quality outdoor gear. You know, I like to say good, better, best. We sort of live in the better, best world more than the good world. And so that's always been our little niche, is to try to show people things that they don't see everywhere else they go.
Well, I know you can go to any large big box store and buy a backpack or whatever, but the nice thing about the Trailhead is you personalize your service to people. When they come in, it isn't just here, you're on your own. I mean, you help people.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, we have a pretty curated assortment of product in the store, and it's curated for very good reason. Our buyers, you know, use the product that we sell. And we know about it, and we know what's different about it than a lot of the other products. So, it's great. I mean, I like that piece of it where it's very personal.
By the way, we are taking phone calls. That's what this show is all about for the Missoula Economic Partnership. Christine Liddick joining us, and, of course, Todd Frank, owner of the Trailhead. And when we come back, Catherine has a question for you. We're going to come right back. All of our other phone lines are open, by the way. We would love to have you fill up those phone lines and talk to a great local business person. And we're going to come right back after this quick timeout.
Dennis Bragg with the updated weather. A mostly cloudy day on tap Tuesday. Just a slight chance of a rain or snow shower early and then again late in the afternoon. Highs to about 51 degrees with some gusty westerly winds. Tuesday night, clouds will hang around with a 30% chance of rain before midnight. A low near 40 degrees. And we get some breezy winds that'll carry over into Wednesday. In fact, that'll be a bright but blustery day. Mostly sunny with a high near 53. And then Wednesday night, skies turning partly cloudy again and getting much colder.
Thanks, Dennis. We are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. It's the Missoula Economic Partnership, I guess adventure, because we're talking about adventure with Todd Frank from the Trailhead. And we've got Catherine on the line right now. Catherine, good morning. You're on with Todd and Christine. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Trailhead used to have, and I don't know if they still do, because that's what I was wondering, a breast cancer fundraiser every year. There's always a great event and raised a lot of money. So I was wondering, is it still going on? And also, what other activities is the Trailhead involved in that provide for NGOs in this town?
I think she's looking for the word philanthropic.
Sure, yeah. No, that's a great question. We did the women's, we called it Women's Night. We did it in October every year during Breast Cancer Month for about 12 years. And then this thing called COVID happened. Mm. And at the same time that happened, the people that we were our co-sponsors for that event, one of the vendors that we did, went out of business. And so we sort of lost it during COVID, and we have not spooled it back up yet, just because of bandwidth and lots of other things going on. That being said, you know, we do a lot of work with, I would have to say that on the order of 20 nonprofits in Missoula that we have a fairly tight partnership with. We just recently did an event, you know, in the fall with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers at our boat store. Actually, this Saturday evening at the boat store, we're doing an event for the Hellgate Hunters and Anglers. We participate with the Clark Fork Coalition and partner with their River Ambassador Program, and we work with Five Valleys Land Trust. Those would be ones that most people would know in town. We're slowly spooling back up doing events at the store, but the disruption of COVID really made those difficult for us to do. So, yeah, we're trying, but they're slow to come back.
Okay. And do you think that you're going to eventually get back to doing that, the Women's Night? because it was a fun event. It was a wonderful event.
It was a fun event. We drank a lot of wine at that event.
I was just thinking, too, that before I sold Bernice's Bakery and started working for the Missoula Economic Partnership, that
you donated.
We worked,
Bernice has always donated.
In partnership. Yep.
Tasty treats for us to have. Yep. So we do want to try to get it going again. We don't have it scheduled for this coming October right now, but we're trying to find the space and energy to do it.
Okay, good. I'm glad. All right.
Thanks for the call. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. And I got to tell you, Christine, you've just opened up a door for me because my wife lives at that bakery. I mean, she every time we have a special occasion, off she goes to Bernice's and got to get the special donuts and got to get the special cupcakes and all these things. And I'm sitting in the car waiting.
You know, I think Bernice's is not unlike the Trailhead.
Very much
Missoula
so. Yeah.
is very yeah. blessed yeah. to have businesses that have survived close to 50 years yeah. and thrived
you
and
bet.
Continued to operate. And you mentioned COVID, and it's like, how do we shape ourselves when we're looking at these disruptions and the ways that customers change what they're looking for? And I mean, I owned Bernice's, but I am curious from you, Todd, what sort of changes have you seen? What do customers want now? How's the Trailhead moving?
Right. I mean, I like to say the customers tell us what they want. So if we bring something into our store and it doesn't sell very well, we clearly don't buy it again. And we try to figure out what it is that customers want. We are planning our business almost a year, 13 months in advance all the time. And by that, I mean, we're going into the next buying season, which we'll be buying spring, summer product for next year. In basically a month now, we're going to go to a trade show and start looking at that. So, we're committing to product at least 11 months in advance of when we get it in. And so as it starts to arrive at our store, we really have to look at it in sort of a three-pronged way. We have to deal with the product we brought in that didn't sell currently in the store. We have to look
sale.
Exactly. We have to look at the orders that we have incoming in the very, very near future. And at the same time, we have to be planning that 11, 12 months in advance. So it's really, it's really juggling those three, conflicting and competing needs every day.
I would imagine you have just described the life of a retail merchant in Missoula.
Yeah.
Because everybody that sells a product that they want to appeal to their customers, they want to get people in the store, everybody's facing that same challenge. So how do you deal with that?
Well,
but not giving away too many secrets.
Yeah, I mean, I like to say that what we do is really quite simple. We buy product and we mark it up and then we try to sell it. And the difference between what we pay for it and what we sell for is what I pay my employees and everything else with. And, it's just hard. I mean, I think it's really just leaning into what's the most critical thing happening today. And it feels sometimes a little like crisis management from day to day. And not often do you get to sit down and really look at that future. I mean, you're working on it all the time, but you're dealing with today.
There's the past and the present and the future. And, of course, what have you learned from the past? You've been in business a long time. So what lessons have you learned that you're saying, okay, I'm just not going to do that one anymore, or I won't try that again, or perhaps I might try it in a different sort of milieu?
Yeah, I think it's really, for me, I've learned that having a really good relationship with the vendors that we do business with has been the most important thing that I've been able to cultivate over my career. And that is, if something doesn't work well, oftentimes we have to go back to the vendor and say, hey, we need some help here. Like, we'd like to send these back and trade them for something that is selling, or, can you help us out with a little bit more of a discount so we can help get rid of them? And that's, to me, that's been the thing that I've worked on the most in my career, is that, and I've changed. I used to be, I'd get all fired up about it and, get angry with my vendors that were maybe behaving badly. And I, I realize now that, it's taken me near 40 years to understand that, honey gets you a lot farther than vinegar.
Mm.
You found that out, have you?
I did.
You must be married, too.
I've been married a long, long time. We're closing in on 40 years, and
as
very
long
much
as you've
the same
business.
Lesson. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I've got 46, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
And why she lets me in the front door, I have no idea. But, yeah, anyway, so we're up against a break. We would love to get some phone calls from you folks. We're talking with Todd Frank and Christine Liddick. Christine, of course, with the Missoula Economic Partnership. And we have Todd Frank joining us, owner of the Trailhead. We're discovering all sorts of cool things about this great locally owned business. We're going to come right back. We'd love to have your phone calls. 721-1290. We'll be right back.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg. Less than a decade after tens of millions of dollars were spent cleaning up mine waste at the headwaters of the Blackfoot River, a new proposal for exploratory gold mining is already causing concern. Montana environmental groups began spreading the word about the Columbia Gold Project on social media last week. Australian-based Sentinel Metals, doing business as Great Plains Mining, is seeking permission from the state to do more exploratory drilling of the site near Lincoln. Montana DEQ is taking comments through April 6th. DEQ says the document is a decision document, but is pulling together a list of the possible impacts. The company that plans to renovate and rework the Kalispell Center Mall saying they'll be seeking tax increment financing from the city to complete the project, which is estimated to cost upwards of $27 million. The Daily Interlake reports Dallas-based shop companies will ask for $23 million in TIF funds to pay for portions of the reconstruction. In sports, the Bobcat women are continuing to carry the Montana flag in the college basketball playoffs, but as A. Sauerwan reports, March Madness hasn't been kind to the Big Sky teams.
March Madness did not treat the Big Sky Conference well. In the opening weekend, on the men's side, it was the Idaho Vandals taking on number 2 Houston. All Houston in that one, 78-47. On the women's side, it was the Idaho Vandals again against Oklahoma, 89-59. Oklahoma wins, they'll move on. The Big Sky Conference has not won a game in March Madness since 2006. That was Larry Krestoviak's Grizzlies. On the women's side, you got to go back all the way to 1995 for the last Big Sky win. That was the Lady Grizz. The Bobcat women's basketball team got a win in the WNIT last weekend. They defeated San Francisco 69-53. They move on to the next round. They will host the Portland Pilots Thursday at 7 o'clock in Bozeman. In Missoula, Ace Sauerwein, Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We are back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. It's the Missoula Economic Partnership Day here on KGVO. Christine Littig is joining us. She's the Missoula Economic Partnership Business Development Director. And her special guest here in the studio is Todd Frank, owner of The Trailhead. And Rick is waiting on the line to visit with you. So, Rick, go ahead, please.
Hey, Todd, I'd like to thank you for your customer service over the years I've had. I live in Hamilton, and my question is, I've got a little story. I have 2 pairs of skis that I purchased from you guys, and they come from a very small manufacturer in out of Washington. They're called Altai Skis.
Oh, yeah.
And I could only get them online. I'd go to REI. Shields Sports wasn't there. I get creeped out when I go into Shields, so I try not to go in there. Seems like they want to sell everything, plus the kitchen sink. My question is, how hard is it for you to do these small manufacturers like Altai? And then there's a company out of Finland, AOC Skis. I've tried to get those through online through the through the internet, and I can't get them. But how difficult is it for you to deal with these small vendors that are like maybe a 5-person company? And again, I'd like to thank you for getting those skis. I really love them, but that's my main question about what is the state you'll go through to satisfy your customer going through these smaller companies?
Well, you know, we love doing business with small companies, honestly. And the guy that owns Altai Ski, and it is a 1-person company. I've known for, gosh, my entire career, he was involved with other ski brands. And so, you know, we really like doing business with people like that. It is challenging because they, like us, are very small and they have limited resources and they can't often do some of the things that, that we, you know, can hope that they could do for us. So, you know, but we kind of seek them out, honestly. I know that the AOC skis are, I don't believe there's a U.S. distributor for those. And so when it's a non-U.S. manufacturer, it's very difficult for us to do business directly with a brand from Europe just because of the import situation that you're up against and the time it takes to do that. And so we always encourage those people to find a U.S. distributor so that we can more easily buy from them. But honestly, you know, that's what our store has been based on for our entire existence, is these small, you know, not really cottage brands, but really almost cottage brands. They're maybe one step above that. So,
well, the thing about those skis in particular, I'm almost 70 years old and I used to be a Hellraiser, but I'm not so much anymore.
I'm familiar.
Those skis definitely fit for a person my age that actually just want to go out and get outdoors and do some trekking instead of smashing into trees. But anyway, the only other question is like, I live in Hamilton, and my God, your parking, it's not your parking, it's the parking where you're at, is a pain in the butt. It's just a pain in the butt, but I live in Hamilton.
Sure. So, well, let me give you a little insight on the parking thing, if I can. Because it is, you know, I would say that there is a perception that parking can be really challenging downtown, because at times that's a reality. The big thing I will tell you is that we have a gigantic parking structure right next door to us that the first hour you park in there is free, and then every hour after that is a dollar. And so it's really pretty darn reasonable for most people to come in and park in the structure. It does require you pull up and take a ticket and go in and find a spot and so forth. And then the other little nugget is that the parking lot between our store and the Holiday Inn behind us, which was always a wide open parking lot, for their own reasons, they gated that parking lot, but it's the same thing. You can come in there, grab a ticket, come right to our back door, park, come in the store, and they give you about 15 or 20 minutes free. And then after that, it's a buck. So yes, I understand, and I can sympathize with that reality, especially if you're coming into downtown from an area that you're not, you know, you don't come down there every day like I do. It's a little bit more to navigate it, but it is more of a perception issue than it can be a reality issue once you figure the system out.
On another thing is, you're slightly used, Ben, is you get killer deals in that place.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit, I think. And, you know, it's one of the topics that was on the list.
I wasn't looking for anything, and I was just shopping. I wasn't looking for anything in particular. I found a pair of three-pin boots in there that were would have been like $350, and I got for $100. And it's like, wow, this is cool. I guess I meant to do this sort of scheme. So,
it's a miracle.
Anyway, thank you. Yeah, it was a miracle. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Well, that's interesting. You did bring a whole list of things there to talk about. So
I just was answering Christine's questions.
Oh, please go ahead.
Well, she was very specific.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, Peter, we try to be prepared.
I'm
hip. The Girl Scout way. Just kidding. Yeah, I mean, I think some of what we wanted to talk about, and I was sharing with you on the break, is that MEP has conversations with local businesses and local business owners all the time.
Right.
And as Missoula's changing, growing, shifting, I think maybe even a little bit more rapidly post-COVID, a lot more surprises coming towards businesses. I think Todd touched on it a little bit earlier about feeling like constant chaos. Business owners were communicating to us, gosh, if I could just hear from Todd Frank. And, you know, you had to laugh a little, but at the same time, you're like, yeah, this gentleman has been operating a business for 50 years. So what's working? How do you manage the chaos? How do you plan for disruption, Todd? What is it, you know, give some people some, you know, king of the hill.
We got about 2.5 minutes before our next break.
Great.
So pontificate. The floor is yours.
Careful what you ask.
All right, I'll back away.
I would say there's a couple of things, really. You know, one is that you just have to embrace the chaos a little bit and understand that, you know, you can only do what you can do in the moment. And if you get wrapped around the axle too much with things that you can't have any control over, you can really spin and not get anywhere.
That's a great phrase, by the way.
You know, one of the questions that Christine asked me is, you know, things like cost increases. What have we seen in our business? How are we dealing with those? Well, of course, the tariff thing was really monumental for us, because most of the brands that we sell are made overseas and at least manufactured. And so we were hit very, very hard with tariff upcharges, if you will, even in a little business that I own on the side of the trailhead. You know, we can't do a lot about those things. And so all we can do is evaluate whether our customers are going to accept a 15% price increase on a product. And if they are, we bring it in. If they aren't, then we choose not to bring it in. So, you know, there's things like that that we're dealing with every day. You know, we have labor and staffing issues that every business has. And I think we're super lucky. You know, our labor costs have gone way up in the last 5 years, which I feel like is a good thing because my employees deserve to make better money than they do. You know, and it's challenging. There's only a little bit of margin to work with in there. So the cost increases have helped in a way, even though our sales haven't grown that much, that extra cost of the product and the added retail price. And by grow, I mean unit-wise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we're taking all that extra margin and putting it into staff.
How big is your staff?
In total, between the two stores, I have 42 people right now.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
lots of part-time college kids.
That's great.
You know, I have a handful of career people that I hope are going to be with me forever. You know, I rarely lose an employee because they're dissatisfied with the job. They like working at the trailhead. Most of the time, it's a financial reality that they oftentimes, our staff gets recruited off our floor every day.
Right.
And people are like, hey, have you ever thought about, you know, doing this? We could use somebody like you. Because they're interacting with customers.
Exactly.
And they're really good. And you know, we all realize.
Do you go over
that.
There and wrap them on the knuckles and say, you're not allowed to ask
well,
that?
Well, no, frankly, I do the same thing when I go to other stores. You know, I've recruited people out of restaurants and I've recruited people from other stores as well. So it's, a dog eat sausage world.
Tell you what, we're up against a break and we have folks waiting on the line to visit with you. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. Phone lines are open for Todd Frank. He's the owner of the Trailhead at Christine Littick, who's Missoula Economic Partnership Business Development Director. We'll continue right after this. Don't be fake. Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back. Of course, we're privileged to have the Missoula Economic Partnership joining us in the form of Christine Littick, who's the Partnership Business Development Director, and her special guest here in the studio this morning, Todd Frank, owner of the Trailhead. And if you don't mind, we'd like to get our callers on as quickly as we can. So let's get Jeff on. Jeff, you're on with Todd and Christine. Go ahead.
Morning, Todd. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning.
Quick question. I'm more of an urban backpack kind of guy than a rural backpack. And right now, my backpack I've had for, I don't know how many years, probably at least 15, is a Swiss Gear.
Uh-huh.
And the issue I have with it is it has like this, the right against the back, there's a place for a computer and maybe an iPad and a keyboard. And in the front, there's a little pocket that I can kind of put stuff in. But the main compartment doesn't really, it's just big. And when I put stuff in there, it just kind of like everything goes in one spot.
Sags to the bottom.
I just can't organize anything. You know, but if I want to find stuff. So I'm looking for something that might allow me a better organization ability, in addition to maybe, you know, maybe some newer things like charging ports and place to carry a power pack and that sort of thing that, 15 years ago, it wasn't really a big issue on these. So
sure.
I'm just wondering if you have anything like that.
You know, we do. I mean, there's it's a mix of product. You know, we have some stuff from Patagonia that's in that travel world that's really good. And we have some stuff from Eagle Creek that's really good. You know, you can divide that world into a million different ways for, you know, is it big enough to fit the laptop that you currently own? And, you know, I mean, so we do, we're always chasing stuff that we see as being really new and unique. And, you know, that stuff now for spring is just starting to arrive. So we have, one of the things that we have expanded a lot is our travel area of the store, you know, just in time for some of the chaos that we have nationally where people maybe don't want to travel as much. But again, that's dealing with that disruption
day
to day. But we do. We think that there's a lot there because there's a lot of people like yourself that do, you know, they're carrying a pack every day. They're just not climbing mountains with it. They're just riding their bike to work. So we do have a fair bit of that stuff. You'd have to come by and take a look and see if anything fits your needs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in my eighth decade now, like Peter.
Oh, just a youngster, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I used to do a lot of the outdoor stuff. I still have a big cataract frame and all the gear to go, wilderness camp rafting and that sort of thing. But, you know, as you get older and start to slow down, some of those things
get harder to do, don't they?
By necessity.
Well, you know, if you ever want to get rid of that that boat that you have, we do have an annual boat swap at our boat store, and you can come in and we'll sell your boat for you, and we'll either give you 80% of what we sold it for in cash or 110% in store credit. So
wow, that's a nice deal.
You could buy lots of backpacks if you did that. So just throwing it out there.
Yeah,
the things we don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't realize you had a restaurant. When is that?
So it's I should know that date off the top of my head, but it's in mid-April. I want to say, I don't have a calendar open here. I want to say the 16th of April or somewhere thereabout, maybe the 18th of April.
Yeah, the 18th is a Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's the 18th of April. You'd have to call the boat shop guys and ask them. You know, I have two stores now. I have the main store downtown, and then we have the boating-specific store in Midtown, sort of east of Southgate Mall. And for, you know, guys who maybe are in their eighth decade of life might remember that space as the old Sears appliance warehouse,
right?
Yeah,
from the day. So yeah,
mm-hmm. It's an older raft. I mean, the tubes are I've seen some wear, but it's taken us down a lot of rivers: the Green, the Ampa, the Dolores, the Arkansas. Mm-hmm.
You know,
particularly loves the North Fork up here. So
yeah, rafts. You know, rafts and cataracts and that product that we sell there is probably the most enduring outdoor product that we sell. It goes up in value a little bit every year. You know, the prices increase, and oftentimes people will come in, you know, with a boat that they've owned for a decade or more, and they'll be able to sell it for almost what they paid for it in with the price increases. So it's a unique category for us.
Something to keep in mind.
One more.
Yes,
I certainly shall. Yeah, you could add one more decade to mine easily.
There you go.
Maybe two.
When you, rarefied air in that ninth decade. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
No, not to me, to the raft.
The raft, yeah. So you're talking, you know, we sell an awful lot of boats. We do a lot of work on boats. We do a lot of boat repair work at the boat store, particularly in the winter when there's not a lot of selling happening. You know, we have the guys working on doing repair work, and we work on boats routinely that are 40 years old. It's not uncommon at all for a high-quality boat, 40-year-old, still in great shape, needs a little bit of maintenance.
That sounds like me.
Yeah, I recently yeah, we all can use some maintenance, preventive maintenance or whatever, but yeah, I did replace the valves, Helke Roberts valves.
A
while back, because I think they were the short ones, and you couldn't actually find adapters and stuff for them anymore.
Right?
I had the long, and they went to the short, or I had the short, and they went to the long. I can't remember now which one it was, but I will keep that as an option. And then, how about some other gear? I mean, I've got everything from a eco toilet.
You know, we do. Anything that's river-focused or, like, car camping kind of focused stuff, we take at that boat swap. And it's a one-day event, so it's sort of hit, you know, like if the right guy walks in the door looking for a toilet, probably going to be able to get rid of it. So we sell a lot more river toilets now than we used to, because that's sort of something that's come about. People are way more conscious of that than they were 15 years ago.
Thank heavens.
So, exactly. And it's not that hard. You know, people get kind of weirded out by it, but it's really actually great. It works super well.
Yep. Yeah, the old Groover, as they call it.
The old Groover, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And the reason they called it the Groover, as a little side story, Peter,
please do,
is
yes.
That we used ammo cans, you know, the Army surplus ammo cans. We still do. And in the old days, you literally just sat down on the ammo can and did your business. Now there's an insert that goes in there and a seat that goes on it. But the reason they called it the Groover is because when you came back from the bathroom in the morning, everybody knew you'd been there because you had two grooves down the back of your leg from squatting on top of the box. So that's how I got the name Groover.
That is a great story.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's way more bougie now than it was then. Hey, thanks for the call.
You betcha.
Thanks for the call. So when you're groovy or a groover, I guess there's a difference there.
You got grooves.
Yeah.
You've been grooved. Yeah.
We're going to come right back. Phone lines are open at 721-1290. We're having too much fun this morning. Todd Frank joining us, owner of the Trailhead. Christine Littig is the Missoula Economic Partnership Business Development Director. We're talking about one specific business, and so many people have, and of course, so many years that Todd has been in the business of the Trailhead. We'd love to hear from you at 721-1290. We'll be back after this. Hey, we're back on TalkBack. 721-1290 is our number. Believe it or not, folks, we only have about 15 minutes left in our time together with the Missoula Economic Partnership, with Christine Littig joining us along with Todd Frank. Christine, the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Peter. You know, we were talking after the last call about how people hang on to their gear for a long time and what do you do with your gear and what can the trailhead do with the gear. But it made me start thinking, how have customers changed? What has the trailhead responded to? How have you changed in response to your customers, Todd?
You know, it's a great question because it's one of the things we really struggled with for, let's call it the teens, you know, where the products that we sold continue to get more and more expensive, and we are committed to higher end quality products. Excuse me. And so we were losing a lot of customers to the internet, losing people finding a deal somewhere else. They, you know, they wanted good product, but they couldn't afford to pay for it. And we sort of had almost given up on the younger people that, you know, they just didn't have the money to come in and spend $500 on a new jacket or $900 on a new ski. And during COVID, my daughter came back from college and we opened up a used consignment section of the store. And, you know, it was really interesting because it completely changed who came into our store every day. And what we started to see is almost immediately younger people showing back up, popping downstairs, looking around, trying to find something. And that sense of exploration and holding up the, you know, the Patagonia sweater that your dad wore 30 years ago.
Right.
That had come in. One of our core customers had brought their product in and consigned it with us because they weren't wearing it any longer. And so that consignment piece of our business became and is a very, very important component, both in terms of sales, but also just in terms of who comes in our store every day.
What do you take on consignment?
You know, we'll take basically products that are similar to what we sell new. So we're very picky about the brands that we bring in. You know, you're not going to see a less expensive sort of low-end product downstairs. It's going to be the same brand. Patagonia would, you know, would be a great example of the kind of product that we take in. And it's backpacks, tents, sleeping bags, clothing, bikes. You know, we'll take darn near anything that's of quality. They are picky. They don't take everything. And then we have a consignment program that we keep it for about 120 days. And if it hasn't sold, you got to come and get it.
Right.
Or reconsign it. So we did that. That was a really a big, big thing that changed for us. And then also what we've seen is the number of customers that come in our store from somewhere else. And by that, I mean visiting tourists never used to be a really important part of our business. We really dealt with local Missoula people only.
Right.
And as all those hotels got redeveloped downtown, you know, we've really seen this dramatic increase, you know, really for half of the year in the summertime of people from somewhere else coming in. And what we see is those people walk in our door and they look around and they're like, man, we don't have anything like this.
This is a cool shop. Right,
and they love the consignment section and they loved like being able to see all this really cool gear. Cause they might, you know, they might have an REI or they might have a Dick's Sporting Goods, but they don't have a trailhead. I mean, there's not many of us left.
And there's no franchise, right?
And there's no franchise. Exactly. Right.
Well, we have folks waiting on the line to visit with you. Ed is first. Ed, good morning. You're on with Todd and Christine. Go ahead.
Yeah. About the consignment business, I have an old backpack called a Cruiser. And you just mentioned REI. I bought it in Seattle. Canvas bag on it, not waterproof nylon. First thing that went into it was a garbage bag, a plastic garbage bag. So you get a little bit of rain over there. Does something like that have sentimental value to some people?
So, you know, sometimes it does. I mean, sometimes really things that sell very quickly, you know, the staff down there will look at it and go, oh, now that's a cool vintage X, Y, or Z, you know, so we do, you know, we'll look at it. Sometimes, you know, they won't in some categories, and I kind of get out of those guys' way because they do it every day, all day long, and oftentimes, you know, I'm old and my perception of
right,
has
have a
lot
better
of value
sense
left,
of
they
what
have
the
a very good
customer
sense
wants,
of what a current
yeah.
customer wants. So, you know, it's something we'd certainly look at.
Then there's the Trapper Nelson, which is basically a board, a hard board.
Oh, right, like an
back.
old army. My father-in-law has an
exactly.
old wooden army
as
backpack.
A kid,
oh, wow.
As a kid, we would cuss out Trapper Nelson. Say all kinds of awful things about him.
You know, and some of that kind of stuff we have bought, you know, we just buy it from the customer right then and we use it for displays in the store, that sort of thing. So, yeah we're always looking for fun stuff.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You bet.
And that's the thrill of being a local business, right? It's not a big franchise where you have to go up the ladder trying to get permission to do things. You can make decisions on the spot.
I live there every day. And so, you know, there is no corporate structure. You know, there's my employees and me and that's it. So it works pretty well.
Let's get another call on before we take a break. This is Rick. Rick, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, I just talked to you about my skis a little while ago. I got a story about a groover. We were in St. George, Utah.
What little bathroom you were here?
Creek Mesa. Yeah, well, I was out on Little Creek Mesa. And I was a senior rider, and we'd ridden about 6 hours. And I was pretty tired and had a few beers, and I went to use the groover. And they'd set it up on some slick rock, you know, so we had a nice view. And I kind of stumbled here and there. And I ended up, not only did the groover and I roll down a rock embankment, but my derriere got pretty scratched up on that slick rock. And so I would recommend buying one of these new portable toilets instead of the groover, because they're not very steady if you've had like maybe 3 or 4 beers. But anyway, that's my groover story. And I've hated those things from the time I ever used the first one. I would rather use a porta potty that hadn't been cleaned in months.
There's probably a book to be written about groover drama.
The groover and you.
The groover and you.
Oh, no. Peter, you're so quick.
Thank you. I'm here all week. All right.
Well, anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. And with that, we're going to take a break. 721-1290. We're all just chuckling over here. 721-1290 is our number. We only have about 8 minutes left in our time together with Todd Frank and Christine Littig. Missoula Economic Partnership always brings such great, great folks, business owners into the studio. And so today's guest is Todd Frank, with the owner of the Trailhead. We're going to come right back after this 1 minute timeout.
Who's your daddy?
Catches me every time. We are back on Talkback. 721-1290 is our number. The folks from the Missoula Economic Partnership, Christine Littig is representing the MEP as the Business Economic Development Director. And Todd Frank, with owner of the Trailhead, is joining us here this morning. So we have about 7 minutes in our time left. Okay. So what haven't we covered yet?
Well, I think Todd and I have known each other for a long time, and part of what we always come back to and a conversation that we hear happening in the community is, how do people support local businesses? And then what does it look like to get that support? And why is there this message that lives around supporting local businesses? And local businesses really are 99% of businesses in the United States. And so, you know, how do you use your money in a way that supports those businesses, and what does it look like? And so I want to invite Todd to kind of talk about his perspective on what we kind of lovingly call the local multiplier, which used to be, wow, when I was downtown in Upper Nieces 20 years ago, was like for every dollar spent, it was $1.70 that spun back into your community. And now some of the new studies are showing that that's like $2 to $4 that's living in your community. So Todd, take it from there.
Well, you know, I think that mantra that you hear a lot is, you know, you should shop local. You know, that's important, but that's really only part of the whole piece of it. And, you know, to me, what I tell people is when they're asking me for money is I let them in on a little secret. And I say, you know, the money that I give you or the support that we can offer you in your business, it's really your money that you spent here in the store. That's where it comes from. It comes from our ability to make a profit and use some of that money to reinvest in the community. And so, you know, I think the different approach that I take is, you know, I like to tell people that the world's run by people that show up. And if you just pick something that you really believe in our community, whether it's trails or rivers, public lands, diversity, whatever it is, education, anything in the community, and you get behind it and you actually dive into it and learn to support it, you're going to support local businesses by doing that, because you're going to find out, hey, guess what? Local businesses are giving way, way more money into those same things that you are passionate about. And that's what I see, is I see we give money to an organization or we support an organization, and immediately the people that are part of that organization start coming in the store and saying, hey, thank you for supporting Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, or, you know, the Five Valleys Land Trust, or whatever it is. So, you know, to me, I think you got to get past this notion that you just have to spend your money locally. I want to be competitive. I want to make sure people have the opportunity to buy the same products from me for the same price that they would online. Because I know it's hard. You got to get in your car and drive downtown and find a place to park and come in our door. And just asking you to do that for the sake of being part of the community is probably a bit hollow. But if you understand that you're into a particular organization, or you really support their mission, and you understand we do too, that means a lot more to people. And that's sort of how the engagement piece feels like it works better to me.
And unfolds in the community time and time again.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. You know, and we get a lot of people ask, you know, visitors that come in, you know, we talk to them about the community. And, you know, we have to point out to people that, you know, all these great trails and open space and all these things that we have, the amenities of Missoula, you know, they're not free. That as a community, we have paid for all of those right. things internally, and they're expensive. And so we hope you appreciate them and
use them.
You know, use them, and we hope you understand that this is a community that is willing to step up and actually pay for them.
What's your relationship with Missoula Parks and Rec?
You know, we do some stuff with them. They oftentimes it's a program thing. You know, right. we'll help them fill programs. But I had a great relationship, you know, with Donna for years and years, and we did. You know, things with them. They're a fantastic organization. We like them.
And I do know that they oversee a huge
massive.
Amount. No one really realizes just how many parks
right.
and recreation areas there are in Missoula that are looked after by not a huge amount of people.
Right. And there's things, you know, there's things that people from Parks and Rec work with people from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the county. And there's all these organizations that are working together to make, like, the river space more accessible to everybody. And
I would imagine those improvements actually help your bottom line.
Oh, they do, for sure.
Because if it's going to be easier to use the rivers, get in and out, ingress and egress, all those things mean I can sell more of my equipment to people who will be able to use it more efficiently and more safely.
I think there's this desire to people to be on the water, and you know, we're there to fulfill that need, basically. I mean, that's, you know, we love being on the water.
There's
too.
A desire to just be outside.
There's a desire to be outside.
You know,
for
maybe
sure.
that's something, and it feels a little bit like that's increased post-COVID, that there's this understanding that we had some time where we spent a lot of time outside and got fresh air at a time when it was maybe more precarious to be inside. And now it's just like, oh, give me more fresh air.
There's
give me the
really,
water.
There's really interesting statistics on the sort of outdoor customer that grew out of the COVID experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, while when you could start going to concerts and doing other things inside, you know, some of the people went back to doing those things, but we've only given back a small percentage of the people that got into the outdoors because of COVID. They're maybe not participating at the level they were when they couldn't do anything
right,
else,
right.
but they're still participating. So it's super important to recognize that the outdoor user has grown. I mean, it's been important.
Hey,
go ahead, please.
Peter, sorry, I was just going to say before we close out, I just wanted to throw out there and ask, Todd, you have been in business for 50 years.
Yeah.
What does keep you motivated? I mean, back to not just the consumer that we're talking to, but the business owners that are listening. What keeps you motivated?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's a really interesting question because, you know, part of it is you just show up every day and you do what's in front of you, and you hope for the time away to be able to enjoy the things that you are selling. You know, part of it for me is just the community and understanding that we have this place in the community and we're bigger than a sum of our parts, if you will, mm-hmm. in terms of my employees and everyone else. And I get a lot of satisfaction out of seeing my employees grow and become members of the community and be able to participate.
One thing I wrote down before you guys even came in was the trailhead in Missoula. I wrote down it's a match made in heaven. It really is because Missoula is such a recreating town, and you are in the business of providing everything people need to really enjoy that safely.
We'd like to think so, you know, and we'd like to think that we also are supporting the things that are important to them. And that's, to me, that's the connection with the end consumer.
The reciprocity of it all.
You bet. And we're out of time, but thank you so much for coming
thanks
in.
For
we appreciate
me.
It.
I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay, Mr. Nick, as we look forward to tomorrow's fabulous program.
Yeah, from 8 to 9, it's County Talk. They're back, and they'll be joined by Jason Mitchell, the Director of Public Works. So we'll talk about infrastructure around Missoula. And then from 9 to 10, we'll talk with the Missoula Housing Authority again. Sam Oliver will join us, and we'll talk about the Missoula Organization of Realtors report data and a whole bunch of other stuff.
All right, so lots going on tomorrow, but again, want to say thank you to Christine and Todd for taking calls this morning, and thank you for sharing your story. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. You bet. It's our pleasure. All right, thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Get out there and enjoy this beautiful day. Try to do something fun outside as we get into the spring and summer. We'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock for